Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Our Lord concluded the model prayer by teaching His disciples to say, "For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Matthew 6:13. This doxology, which is attached to the model prayer, does not appear in the oldest and best Greek manuscript. Dr. A.T. Robertson thinks it was added as the prayer began to be used in the worship services of the early church. Dr. Jack Lewis, one of the outstanding Greek scholars of our day, thinks someone borrowed the expression from 1 Chronicles 29:11, which reads, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Whether or not the doxology should be included in the text may not be all that important. All of these words are appropriate in speaking to our Heavenly Father. The kingdom of the New Testament was God's idea. The Old Testament makes numerous predictions of that kingdom. When it was established on the day of Pentecost, it was according to God's timing. He was the one who brought the apostles to Jerusalem to preach the very first gospel sermon. It was by His wisdom that the terms of admission into the kingdom were announced on Pentecost and proclaimed afterward throughout the world. It was by God's plan that the Colossians and others were rescued from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1:13. The Apostle John wrote, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle which is called Patmos for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 1:9. We have every reason to speak of the church as being God's kingdom. In our prayers and in our preaching, we should also attribute power to Almighty God. Some modernistic theologians deny that God is all-powerful, but they have not garnered that concept from the Scriptures. Who but God Almighty could call the universe into existence simply by saying, "Let there be light"? Genesis 1:3. Who but God could send a universal flood to destroy the earth and all its inhabitants, except Noah and his family? Who but God could raise Jesus from the dead for our hope and justification? The patriarch Job wrote thousands of years ago, "Hell is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. He stretches out the north over the empty space and hangs the world on nothing. He binds up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holds back the face of his throne and spreads his cloud upon it. He has compassed the waters with bounds until the day and the night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divides the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smites through the proud. By his spirit he has garnished the heavens. He has formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways. But how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand?" Job 26:6-14. When we think seriously and soberly about the kingdom God has given to man, and the great power he has used for his glory, we ought to be able to say with the psalmist, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 29:1-2. The Apostle Paul stood in awe of the greatness of our God. "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Romans 11:36. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.